Welcome to the program, God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. And on December 16th, a number of Christian civic groups held a religious freedom rally in front of the Trenton State House. The rally was at the behest of some Hispanic congregations in New Jersey, and it was really good to see these churches begin to get involved politically. Hispanic congregations in New Jersey are going to be a real asset in moving our state toward righteousness. Now, the rally was frigid, 27 degrees. We were in the shade, the wind was blowing. There were a number of speakers, and by the time I was given an opportunity to say a few words, I could see that the audience was the frozen chosen. So, out of mercy, I discarded my speech and just said a few words. Now, on today's program, I'd like to share the speech I wanted to give. Now, even if the weather was beautiful, there's no way people at a rally could process an in-depth 30-minute discourse on the issue of religious freedom. Do you remember how President William Henry Harrison died? He gave his inaugural speech on a cold, windy March day in 1841. He caught pneumonia, and he died 32 days later. He wrote the speech himself, and it was the longest inaugurational speech in American history. And President Harrison is always remembered for the punishment that comes upon long-winded speakers, especially when the audience is suffering in bad weather. I trust that you're listening to this program in the comforts of a nice warm house or car. So here's the address I would like to have given, although I know I could never have given it in the venue of an open-air rally. 1900 years ago, Christianity was persecuted in the Roman Empire. Under the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, a law was passed punishing anyone with exile who should endeavor to influence people's minds with the fear of the divinity. This new law was to put a stop to Christian evangelism. Under Diocletian, all Christians were to be deprived of public office and civil rights. Under the Emperor Julian, all schools were placed under the direction of pagans, and Christian teaching was prohibited. Does this sound familiar? The persecution that the church experienced in her first three centuries is once again coming upon the Western church. And it has slipped up upon us slowly so that we don't fully recognize it for what it is. Currently in America, evangelism is being outlawed if it offends people, or rather causes people a fear of the divinity. This is where hate speech legislation is heading. Those who are openly Christian are being passed over for public office because voters have an aversion for people who have serious moral convictions based on a biblical faith. Remember that this year in the city of San Antonio, Texas, the city council passed a law that any person who does not support LGBT rights is prohibited from serving on the city council. That is the essence of Diocletian's decree against Christians in public office. And as in the days of Julian, public schools are under the direction of pagans and Christian teaching is prohibited. And yet we have become so accustomed to the status quo that we have accepted these inequalities as normal. If we don't start pushing back, our children will have no religious freedom in America. Here's another oddity. This year, Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, signed a law making religious education mandatory in all schools in Russia. While prayer and Bible teaching is allowed in Russian schools, here in the United States, there is no freedom of religious speech in public education. You remember also this year, a substitute teacher in the New Jersey Phillipsburg School District was fired after he handed a student a Gideon Bible. The student asked a teacher where a certain biblical phrase came from, and the teacher pulled out his pocket New Testament and showed him the biblical text. The student told the teacher that he didn't have a Bible, so the teacher gave the boy his own copy. For this, he was fired. President Obama's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission dismissed the religious discrimination claim filed by the teacher. But in Russia today, Gideon International can freely pass out Bibles to public school students. but not in America. Vladimir Putin said the following in a speech this year. Quote, "Some countries have forgotten the rule of law and even decency. We can see how many of the European countries are actually rejecting their roots, including the Christian values that constitute the basis for Western civilization. They are denying moral principles and all traditional identities, national, cultural, religious, and even sexual. People in many European countries are ashamed, and they're afraid of talking about their religious convictions. Religious holidays are being taken away or being called something else, shamefully hiding the essence of the holiday. These countries are implementing policies that equate belief in God with belief in Satan. Without the values embedded in Christianity and other world religions, without the standards of morality that have taken shape over millennia, people will inevitably lose their human dignity." Unquote. Now, this is the president of Russia saying these things. How is it that we have become like the old Soviet Union and Russia today has become like the old America? Now, we know the legal reason. Godless and unwise judges and legislators have favored the first part of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. But they have completely ignored the second part. Congress shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof. What has happened is the reinterpretation and the ignoring of the Constitution that we all agreed upon 225 years ago. That's the legal reason. We all know the spiritual reason. Apostasy, unbelief. And the legal reason is always a cover for the spiritual. The government of the United States and her people have gradually replaced the religion of Christianity with the religion of secular humanism. I can't tell you how many times I have heard the argument against Christian morality that America is not a theocracy. And what they're criticizing is this false view of a theocracy as if Christians want to set up some type of Islamic caliphate. But the real truth is that every state, every nation is a theocracy. Everyone chooses a god. Secular humanism is a religion just as much as Christianity, and America has become a theocracy of secular humanism. The great myth of our time is this myth of neutrality, that a nation doesn't have to have any god or any basis for morality. Pluralism seems to work fine as long as the moral capital of Christianity still remains in the society. But once the moral capital of Christianity is eventually eroded, and people begin to think that law is a function of whatever they want, then society begins to reap crime, broken homes, drugs, violence in schools, falling test scores, economic collapse, the loss of human dignity, purpose. And the humanists, the secular humanists, explain this decline as the result of income inequality. Well, that's a subject for another time. The point is that the root of the problem is this myth of the secular state. That is what we need to address if we're ever going to turn this nation around and put evil underfoot again. Now, one of the main threats to religious freedom is coming out of the state's sanction and legalization of same-sex marriage and LGBT rights. I'm going to address that in a moment. But the main issue is not LGBT rights, but this belief in a secular state. Homosexuals make up a very small percentage of the population, maybe 2%. So how do they get 51% of the vote? Not because people personally practice homosexuality, not because people personally agree with homosexuality. But Americans have been led to believe, by years of secular indoctrination, that the government should not enforce any morality that is religious. As if the American way is to let everyone choose for themselves. People can choose for themselves when life begins. People can choose for themselves if the rights of the mother are more important than the life of the child. People can choose for themselves in regard to pornography or nudity or sodomy. And upon that basis, Christian moral law has been overturned in our nation, even though probably the majority of Americans personally hold to Christian moral law. And because of the myth of the secular state, this is why the homosexual agenda has been so successful and has moved along so quickly. The people of America already believe that the state is to be morally neutral and that the state should not enforce Christian morality because that would be unfair. The people in America have been led to believe that any sexual behavior is acceptable as long as there is no perceived immediate harm to society. God's rights do not matter. The only thing that matters is man's rights. Therefore, the LGBT lobby doesn't have to get the public to embrace homosexuality. All they need to do is get the public to believe in the lie of the secular state. So to turn this all around, we don't have to get the public to disdain homosexuality. Most of the public probably already does disdain homosexuality. All we need to do is get the public to once again believe that the state is to be under the law of God, not the law of man. Now, how is the legalization of same-sex marriage and LGBT rights a new threat to religious liberty and the beginning of Christian persecution? I read this question all the time in articles, on blogs. Certain people are appalled by Christians who say that same-sex marriage is a threat to their religious freedom. And they ask, how can letting two homosexuals live their own life affect your religious freedom? You Christians are being unfair, you're being bigoted for saying that their sexual freedom is infringing on your rights. Now, if you ever get into one of these debates, it takes about an hour before the critic begins to understand that same-sex marriage is about much more than just two people loving one another. It is really about the state redefining morality and gender distinctions. And if the state is going to support the Canaanite view of marriage and sexuality and gender, then the Christian and the Christian moral position will be persecuted. In the new LGBT morality, a man dressed as a drag queen has the right to teach elementary students because in the new morality, there are to be no gender distinctions. Gender distinctions are a bias. Gender roles mean gender inequality. In schools in Massachusetts and in California, there are gender-neutral bathrooms. Students can use whichever bathrooms they choose. There are guidelines in Massachusetts schools that tell teachers not to have gender-based clothing. Children are being taught that gender is a choice. They can choose to be a boy, they can choose to be a girl, or both. Businesses are being required to hire cross-dressers. To demand a certain dress based upon gender is illegal. This is a new morality being sanctioned by the state in the passing of same-sex marriage. And the state has actually passed a law that's a polar opposite of God's law. Whereas God says in Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female, it's an abomination. New Jersey statutory law now reads, being lesbian, gay, or bisexual is not a disease, disorder, illness, deficiency, or shortcoming. In effect, our legislators are overruling the law of God, the Christian values that were the basis for Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. And as the Christian morality used to be defended and taught in public schools, this new morality will replace the old morality in the classrooms. Just a few years ago, homosexual behavior was illegal, and teaching homosexuality was illegal in public schools. Now Christian morality will be illegal. There will not be equality between the two positions. And if you think there will be, you have your head in the sand, and you understand very little about human nature, about history, about law. Last week, A&E suspended Phil Robertson, the older member of the Duck Dynasty clan, because he made disparaging comments against homosexuality. Fox Sports' Craig James was fired because he previously took a position against same-sex marriage in a congressional campaign. Vicky Knox, a teacher in Union, New Jersey, was terminated for posting opinions about homosexuality on her private Facebook page. In that the courts have made equality the basis for law, how could any private business or government entity fire someone for speaking against homosexuality any more than firing someone for speaking for homosexuality? Because the agenda of the LGBT lobby and the new laws sanctioning same-sex marriage mean the outlawing of Christian morality. Now, some think that we should just live and let live and we can all just get along, but it doesn't work that way. Genesis chapter 19, the homosexuals in Sodom surrounded Lot's house and they beat on the door. And they demanded that Lot succumb to their homosexual practices. Immorality eventually persecutes the moral. They cannot coexist, and eventually there has to be separation. So now in regard to Bill S-3109 that the New Jersey Senate was considering while the rally was going on, this bill will take the judge's ruling legalizing same-sex marriage and turn it into legislative law. The bill provides legal protection for religious societies, members of the clergy, religious institutions, and organizations, so that they do not have to officiate same-sex marriages or accommodate their facilities to same-sex marriages. And some people think, wow, this is great. We have a religious exemption in the same-sex marriage bill. But this exemption is awful because it fails at two points. First, it only provides religious freedom to churches and to clergy, whereas First Amendment rights extend to all individuals. Second, it provides religious freedom only from officiating same-sex marriage ceremonies, whereas First Amendment rights extend to the free exercise of religion in numerous areas of life. Therefore, we have asked that the bill be amended and that the religious exemptions be expanded to all individuals, all businesses, all corporations, all public school teachers, all state employees. Freedom of religion, if it means anything, means freedom from having to accommodate or sanction immorality. And if these protections are not added, the state is favoring homosexuality over Christianity and therefore persecuting Christian beliefs. You see, if the state is all about tolerance and compromise, it has to go both ways. Homosexuals have to accommodate to the religious belief of Christian individuals, and they cannot force us to accommodate to their view of morality, nor force our children to sit under their teaching. Now, while the rally was going on, Bill S-3109, the same-sex marriage bill, was removed from the hearing. That might sound like good news, but the reason why they pulled the bill, according to the sponsor of the bill, Senator Loretta Weinberg, is because it didn't go far enough in removing the rights of religious people and entities. They want to put forth a same-sex marriage bill that provides for no religious exemptions, let alone exemptions for individuals. This is how emboldened the homosexual lobby has become in our state. Now let me prognosticate. Will the state of New Jersey protect Christianity? Short term, maybe. Long term, we all know persecution is coming. My concern is that we keep up the lobbying efforts, that we all continue to be salt and light. But I have another concern, that we approach the coming days with the right attitude. Because it's so easy to become angry over the violation of our rights, the loss of the means of our livelihood, the confiscation of our goods, the insults, the disparaging remarks. So let me close by addressing the proper Christian reaction. If we're forced to accommodate to homosexuals, we might just do that. But while we're forced to bake their wedding cakes or photograph their weddings, we'll share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will preach faith and repentance. But the state can't have that, so they'll have to pass a new law stating it's illegal to speak against homosexuality or any sin. Well, then they'll have to put us in jail. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard from the Lord. But even that's okay because there's plenty of people in jail to evangelize. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1? I want you to know, brethren, that my imprisonment has turned out to the greater progress of the gospel. Because of my imprisonment, the entire Praetorian Guard has heard the gospel message. And even if Christians are put to death, that's good also, because as Tertullian, the church father, said, the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. You can't beat God or the people of God. And all things work together for good to those who love God. So if everything's going to work together for good, and the sin of the state is going to result in our sanctification and evangelism, why even have a rally for religious freedom? And when I speak about persecution working out for the advancement of the gospel, my conservative friends get a little nervous. Because they say, Pastor, if you tell people this, they're not going to be motivated to do political action. But I don't think so. Because we're doing it out of love for neighbor. We lobby the state for righteous laws, not primarily for our own sake, but for the sake of unbelievers. Now, there are many Christians that are still motivated by their own welfare, by their own worldly security, by their own bank accounts and prosperity. But we need to put that behind us. We will always prosper no matter what happens. All things will work together for good to those who love God, but not for unbelievers. By passing unrighteous laws, they are not only bringing the judgment of God down upon their own heads, but they will reap the consequences of their immoral policies. Matthew 18, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would have been better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks, for it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come. Yes, God ordains evil to work out for the good of his people, but woe to that person who does evil in opposition to God. Now, there are many ways that a society destroys itself when it begins to abandon God's law and persecute the people of God, but consider just this one aspect. The citizens, by taking away religious freedom from Christians, are actually taking away their own freedom. They are setting up a police state that will someday turn on them and also persecute them also. And here I need to share that famous quote from Martin Niemöller. First they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Martin Niemöller was pointing out to the German intellectuals in Nazi Germany that when you set up a system that takes freedom away from one group, you are setting up a totalitarian state that will persecute everyone. And upon that thought, I will conclude, for my time has ended. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or download it, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. There we have an archive of over 100 different messages on various political topics. From the website, you can contact us with comments and questions. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Thanks for listening. And I hope you listen regularly and use this program in your weekly discipleship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. May we not squander or waste our freedoms on foolish pursuits, but may we evangelize while we have opportunity. The time is short. The end of all things is at hand. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.